Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So things are going good in my life, and I'm reluctant to talk about it. Yeah, things are going good. Things are good. What do you want me to say? Do I hide it? Do I not say that things are good? Do I pretend like I'm living a life that most people are living? I mean, stuff is finally falling together for me. Finally! In May, I'm sorry, I'm eating and I shouldn't be eating in your ear. I was starved. I got a bag of pretzels. In May, I will have been in the broadcasting business 28 years. I remember my first job, I was a skinny 19-year-old punk. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting there, you know, smoking cigarettes like a crazy man. I mean, this business has changed so much. You used to be able to smoke in the studio. And in May, I'll have been in the business 28 years, and I've paid a few dues, and my life has sucked a lot of different ways. Now, all of a sudden, I'm married to a great lady, I got a nice family, and things are good, the show has gone national, and yeah, you know, I've got enough money now where maybe I can move into a house where the kids are not sleeping one on top of the other, and hey, you know, maybe I can have a nice thing, maybe like a swimming pool, but am I reluctant to talk about it? Yes, I am, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm highfalutin, nose in the air, think my stuff doesn't stink, kind of a guy. And maybe David Hall's got a point. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. It sure makes a guy gun-shy when, you know, when you get nailed like that. So, and am I worried? Yeah. You know what happens? You worry because you think the other shoe's going to drop. Things are too good. What's going to screw up now? I said to Maria the other day, because she was talking the same way. She says, geez, things are going so good. I guess, you know, something's going to have to be bad. I said, where does that thinking come from? Is that Judeo-Christianity, man? Is that the culture we were raised in? You know, you go through life long enough looking at a guy nailed to a cross, you damn sure going to believe something's going to screw up pretty quick. If a guy that good could get nailed to a cross, I ought to get hit by a bus and run over 100 times. That's the message. Look at that guy up there, because I was raised Catholic, okay, which meant I went into Mass every morning and I saw the guy hanging from a cross. There wasn't just a cross. We have in Catholicism something called a crucifix. You ever heard that, though, you guys who were Protestants? You know, you went to the Methodist thing and whatever it is that you guys did, you had a cross. The old rugged cross, man. Well, we had the old rugged crucifix. And that was a guy nailed to that thing, hanging off of that thing. I mean hanging off, just... The only thing that they didn't have was the tongue hanging out of the mouth like Michael Jordan. There's Jesus up there every day. You go to Mass. You're 8 years old, 9 years old, and there's that guy hanging up there. Should have had his mouth hanging open, just bah. That's probably the way he really looked. They got everything else right. Might as well get the face going. Just bah. And that guy was good. He was a good man. Was he God? You can debate that to the end of time. But allegedly, he was a good, good, good man. The greatest man, perhaps, of all time. And he got nailed to a freaking piece of board, man. What do you think's going to happen to me? I'm going to get dropped off of a mountain, rolled down through boulders, sharp, jagged boulders, onto a tee box at Eaton Canyon, right as a guy is nailing into me with a three-wood. And my head... that's not even bad enough. Something worse has got to happen. That's the message. That's how I feel. Occasionally, if I'm not of right mind. But I've been through enough in my life, and I think I've grown up enough to know, you know what, that's a lot of programming, it's tapes, it's crap. And if you have things going good in your life, and all of a sudden you're turning around going, well, things are going so good, man. Maybe this is the year I get cancer. You know what? It's a loser way of thinking. And I said that to Maria. You know, we got things that are going really good right now. Yeah, okay, maybe we ain't spring chickens. Well, me not. A spring chick. You're very young, honey, of course. I flatter her. No, she's very beautiful and young. But I paid my dues, you know, and I've come out the other side smelling like a rose. So why can't I have some good crap and not have anything go bad? Well, guess what? That's what I believe. Not only are things not going to go wrong, they're going to get better and better. Because I've already paid my dues.
Well, you never stop paying your dues, Phil. Always going to be something.
Well, maybe that's true, but you got to have the attitude like every day it's going to be good, man. So, yeah, I'm going to pull up in front of a big fat house today. And guess what? Some guy called me from a commercial Guy's shooting commercials. And he says, are you the guy that owns the house? I said, yeah. He says, I'm shooting a commercial for a car company out of Canada. It's a major car. I better not say, but it's a major auto manufacturer. And it's a commercial that's going to be shown in Canada. And we'd like to use your house for exterior shots. I'm going, oh, this is great, man. Some side action that I didn't think would happen. Do you know that they'll pay you like $2,500 a day just to photograph your house for a TV commercial? This guy wants to use it for 5 hours. I figure that's $2,500 right there. To me, that's a day. That's wait a minute, sir. I mean, a day. Yeah, a day is 24 hours in your book? That's right. Well, in my book, it's five. That'll be $2,500, which, of course, I won't get it, and the guy will probably tell me to pound it. But, I thought I'd give it a shot. I mean, I'm in the very infant stages of negotiating this kind of crap. So, yeah, a lot of good crap is going on, and I'm very thankful. And you know what? I wish it all on everybody listening to me, right? I hope it all happens for you, man. Every dream you've ever had, every good thing you ever wanted, every wish, I want it all to come true for everybody. I don't want anybody not to have the good stuff. I don't buy this thing, well, if you have it good, then somebody else has got to eat crap. That's not the way it works. That's not the way the universe works. How do I know? I used to watch Catherine Kuhlman going, I believe in miracles. And she had a wigged-out-looking kisser, like something on a shield down in Nigeria. You ever seen them shields of those guys, those Ubangi warriors? That's what her face looked like, whatever they had painted on that. And she was on every Sunday night going, I believe in miracles. And not that I remember anything else she said. But the rest of you guys, just keep at it, man. You'll get it. You'll get whatever you want. God damn, it's the truth. 10 years ago, I was going through a penny jar. I was down to I didn't have any money. The engine in my truck had just blown up, and I was getting thrown out of my apartment because I couldn't afford the rent. My career was dead in the water. I didn't have a job, and I was selling my furniture, which my sister, God bless her, came over to buy some because she knew nobody else was going to buy it, so she came over and bought it and probably burned it as soon as she got it home. That was me 10 years ago. And then I was walking down a lonely beach, and I found a lantern. I rubbed it, and a guy came out, and he said, what do you want? And here I am. That's all you got to do. Take acid. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. If we got any good calls, we'll put them on. So far, with a full board of calls, though, none of them are any good. But Mike's working. He's doing the best he can. I see him being really polite, and then he hangs the phone up, and he just kind of walks down the hall and spits up in a waste paper basket, and he goes, I'm okay, really, seriously, man. And he gets back in there and puts the headset back on. Nothing, man. We're talking about you. You just keep on screening them calls like you've been doing. 1-800-449-8686. And this is, because Taylor, when did you quit?
January
1st, he quit smoking. I quit smoking November 13th. How do I know? I didn't know the date until I found the ticket stubs to the Insider in my jacket pocket. Maria and I went, and it said November 13th. I quit that day when I walked out of that movie theater. So that's 1, 2, 3.5 months. And you're like a month, you're 2 months.
I'm like 62 days.
62 days, yeah. And I was telling him, you know, when you quit smoking cigarettes, this is really, really key. And I'm telling you, if for you guys trying to quit, it may help you to know that the hand to mouth, the toothpick, just putting something in your mouth, okay? And let's be adults, all right? Let's just for like 5 minutes try and be adults while I'm talking about this. Putting something in your mouth is half of the battle when you're quitting smoking. I don't know if it's the Nicorette or the nicotine so much as it's the putting a cigarette in your mouth. So if you substitute a toothpick or you substitute, and now they have these hollowed out plastic tubes, or substitute just, you know, a pen or a straw, if you have that urge to smoke and you do that, you have cut it about 50%, and then the urge will pass. Now, my friends here, Jeff and Craig, just told me that they do have something like that that is being marketed. It is some sort of a plastic device, and it has some nicotine in it. And when you suck on it, supposedly it's supposed to help the craving. Only problem is it looks exactly like a tampon. So they ain't selling any of them, because with all, I can understand, who wants to put one of those in their mouth? So who's the guy that came up with that idea, okay? You've got millions of suffering smokers, guys that are trying to quit, women that are trying to quit. So what do? You go out and you make something that looks like a tampon to stick in their mouth. You got to get back to the drawing board on that one, okay? People are dying! You think it's funny? Lung cancer? Help me! Help me! Hey, here it is, Phil. It looks like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's another Tampax. Get out and do it again. What does it look? It looks like it's a big, thick tampon-looking thing. Jesus, come on. We're talking about our health. We're talking about our well-being. Anyway. Guy designed something. This ought to help. It looks exactly like a suppository for hemorrhoids. Am I supposed to put that in my mouth? I don't understand. What did I do wrong? The design is wrong. The design is wrong. Do you understand? Jeez, I'm awfully sorry. Well, okay. That's an emphysema is nothing. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I got a little book here that's very interesting. It's called Improvements, Quick and Clever Problem Solvers. It's a book that those of us who are buying houses or have houses, this is what we buy. And I came across a couple of things that I found interesting. And all kinds of things here. They've got mats, floor mats. They've got interesting little things you put in the corners of stairs so the dust doesn't collect there. They have keeping carpet clean by rolling out a machine washable runner. Here's one here. It says, no more trips on flying carpets. Use our rug grabber strip. Now, you know these rugs that lay in the middle of hardwood floors? Some jackass is walking along and up in the air go his feet and he's down on his ass. It's never happened to me. Schaefer told me it's happened to him about 3 times. He's going, hey, honey, look what I got. Dodger tickets. Oh, Jesus. Right up in the air. Make sure your rugs stay where they belong. Mesh has a pressure-sensitive, releasable adhesive on both sides, so it's not permanent. You can still clean easily underneath. Nothing to paint on, so it's perfect for your finest Oriental and Persian rugs and for either side of a braided rug, 6x25, yada, yada. Rolls up to 1 9x12, boom, 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 for special smaller rugs, yada, yada. I never thought that was a problem. I always noticed, you know, sliding rugs on hardwood floors, and you figure, well, people... Do you get it yet? You know, you got your beautiful hardwood floor. Isn't it wonderful? We've had the rug, the floor redone. Bob stripped it. We were in all weekend. God, aren't you just luscious? You guys are the home improvement types, aren't you? You watch Bob Villa and you bring in your own stain. We do, uh-huh. I'm going to burn your house down. And we have the throw rug, Phil. Do you want to come with? Oh, thank you. Whoa, yeah. You're so industrious. I got to pay a guy to come in and hang a picture. That's how industrious I am. I have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a guy plug my toaster in. And you're just all out there staining your floor. Now here's one. And this is practical. This is good. And this is especially for many of our listeners. Smoke escape hood gives you up to 15 minutes to get out, yet it's only $9.99. Check this out. Smoke inhalation, not burns, is by far the largest killer in fires, so the more time you have to escape, the better. And they show an old man with a plastic bag over his head. Look at that. And he's got what looks like a surgical mask under a plastic bag. So the first thing I'm going to do when I wake up is grab my bag, stick it over my head, and smother myself. And that way I'm dead before the flames reach me. Is that it? This heat-resistant... They use them in private airplanes, do they? Well, I can understand that because you got nowhere to go, right? So if there is smoke filling the cabin, of course, there is this thing called a window you can open up. Does that help at all? It's a little window, okay. You know, when I figure you're in a private plane and it's on fire, you have got, there's not a lot that you can do. You might as well open the door and jump. God, that is a frightening and horrible thing. And you know what? Maria said to me, do you want to buy an airplane? I honest to God, I can't afford that. I said, second of all, why would I want to do that? And she goes, yeah, you're right. They all wind up crashing. Not that they do, and I'm sure there are many experienced pilots. But even these guys like John Denver, and who was the most recent guy?
It's a radio host.
That guy in Chicago. He was flying his own plane, wasn't he? That's sad, man. And John Denver's thing, it's an experienced pilot. Oh, I ran out of gas. He ran out of gas? Anyway, so you get your smoke inhalation hood, this heat-resistant, transparent copolymer hood features a patented three-layer ionized smoke filler that gives you up to 15 precious escape minutes. Simple to use, unlike respirators, and not nearly as bulky or expensive as active filtration units. Now, just exactly how bad are you afraid your house is going to burn down? And how many are you going to buy of these, and where are you going to put them? I know about earthquake kits. We've got them in California. And hurricane kits, you got them in Florida. And there are different emergency kits, the tornadoes in the Midwest, etc. And you have blankets, you have flashlights and everything. I'm going to draw the line at a hood, you know, that is going to give me the precious 15 freaking minutes. I'm drawing the line at that. The house is on fire. It's full of smoke. I'm jumping out a window. I'm going to take the butt end of the fire extinguisher that is empty because I didn't get it refilled. I'm going to smash out the glass, and I'm going to leap, just like Robert Wagner in Towering Inferno. How about that? Remember that movie? Did you ever see it? The guy takes a wet washcloth and hangs it over his head and runs into a bonfire. It's one of the saddest, yet one of the most hysterical scenes in movie history. Robert Wagner's having an affair with some broad in an office, in this office building, the Towering Inferno office building. Suddenly they realize the building's on fire. There's smoke coming in the door. He opens the door. He sees flames. He looks at her. She looks at him. There's a moment of love and lust. What are we going to do, baby? I don't know. He says, I'll be back. I'm going to get help. I'll be back. He goes into the bathroom, soaks a towel about as big as something you'd wipe a cat down with, drapes it over his head, and within 2 seconds, he's completely on fire and leaping through a window. Good job there, man. All right. Save the day. I laughed my ass off, and I shouldn't because it was very poignant, but did you see that flick, Mike? It's fantastic. And the bonus? O.J. Simpson's in it. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. That lady who had the rattan table last hour actually called back and wanted us to pay for the table since she'd given us an hour of her time. And you know what? She's got a damn good point. She does. She gave us an hour of her time with that goofy trading post. And she had a rattan table with four chairs, mauve in color with a glass top. She's got a very good point. We ought to pay her two bills, but of course we won't. Because I just can't. What am I going to do with that? I think rattan's out of sight. I mean, there's a certain goofy kind of Polynesian thing that I'd love to do with my house. I'd like to put up bamboo. And have you ever been to Damon's in Glendale? You guys don't know this place. You swingers, we're going to play some Victim Own later on. There's a restaurant in Glendale called Damon's? Yeah, Damon's. They've got kind of a quasi Caribbean thing going on in there. There's, you know, like palm fronds and things hanging from the ceiling and bamboo tables and everything. And they do a, kind of a mean, Mai Tai in there. But it's real kitsch and kind of funky and totally beautiful. And I want to do that. I want to have a room where I can go in and lay there with that kind of that straw hat and long shorts in a hammock and just endless amounts of heroin. Just long, leisurely days shooting up. There's a track called House of Bamboo on one of these CDs. Oh, beautiful, man. I don't know where it is. So that's why rattan is a beautiful thing. And Right now, I got no furniture in my house. All right, let me get back to some of the things that we're talking about to improve your home. See if you can find House of Bamboo, and I'll give people the idea of what it is that I wanted to. There's a guy that lived around the corner from me who did his whole home in bamboo, and that whole, it was a whole motif, his backyard. He had waterfalls and coconut shells and crap and, like, shrunken heads hanging for, you know, just dangling from his back thing. Is it on here? House of Bamboo? I don't want no hula music, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this guy had, you know, you could go down to any corner. I don't know where you buy them, but they're these, they're made in Venezuela, these shrunken heads. And the hair is tied, and the kind of the mouth is stitched together. The little head is just dangling, you know. Now, if you're 12, it's something you really collect. But if you're into the Polynesian thing, it has beautiful decor effect. You dangle a few shrunken heads and have a nice dinner party.
Number 54, the house with the bamboo door. Bamboo roof and bamboo walls. They've even got a bamboo floor. You must get to know Soho Joe.
I couldn't even get in a car.
He runs an espresso. Call the house of bamboo.
Who's this? I recognize the voice, and it's starting to make me feel bad. I know who? Who? Earl Grant. Oh, he's the cat that plays the organ. Yeah, man. A lot of fruity drinks. So, you know, this guy's doing his backyard like that, and he has little waterfalls and things, and he's got a boat out back. You got this on a 45? You collecting this crap? Are you one of these swinger geeks? Are you one of these geeks that's going out to the swinger club on the weekend and with the knees together and all those old chicks want to dance with you? Oh, man. That's a sad thing to witness. You been out and seen this, Jeff? I tell you about that? Oh, I told you, like last night I was talking about the place I went to in Palm Springs. It's like a joint where there's a swing band. And anyway, there's a lot of chicks in there. They're nice ladies. They're about 80 to 90 years of age, though. But a lot of young guys go in there who just have those swinger duds on. They got on the pinstripe pants, the whole number. So they go up to the bar, and there's some chick there who's, you know, she looks good, but then a well-kept grave looks good, too, you know? And I mean, there's flowers on it, so it looks nice, but it's still kind of dead. Anyway, she's looking good, and the guy goes up and says, care to dance? And they're just like, oh, God, yes. And they go out and they just, they rip it up, baby.
Ha! Soho Joe.
Wonder how embarrassing this was for poor Earl Grant, a great African-American artist. And he's the only black guy in the club, and everybody else is white with a bow tie, and they're doing the House of Bamboo thing, and they're going, this is extremely ethnic, I'm digging it, you know? And he's up there making the white folks feel good, and then later on, like Louis Armstrong, had to go back and lay there in a robe and wondered, man, if I could just get some of that Jewish lightning going, man, I could buy this club, you know? Sucks. It's like Jackie Robinson, all those early black performers, Sammy Davis Jr. having to suck up to Frank Sinatra all those years. You got to tell me that those guys were friends? Is that what they're trying to pitch? I guess. The biography that I saw on Sinatra on TV, which was the one that was approved by his daughter Tina, so I don't know. Well, okay, I mean, I guess it was authentic. I mean, I'm sure that it had elements of truth, but it was as if Frank was a very benevolent guy, and, you know, maybe he was, and Sammy Davis Jr. was his one black friend, or was the black friend, you know, or was the, you know, what am I... Where's that House of Bamboo? Here we go. Yeah. Ah, there. The music. Good. Great. Island music. It helps. That Sammy Davis Jr. was accepted by these white guys. But I've heard some of the outtakes of those guys on stage in Vegas. It's real insulting. You know, they're talking about our coon friend here and Smokey Sammy and all this crap. Bunch of white wops putting down a black guy. It's a little ugly. You heard a public radio special last weekend about Sammy Davis Jr.? Well, what was it, any good? Craig's just nodding his head. I heard Sammy Davis Jr. on the radio one time. Well, so was it any good? Well, I don't know what you mean by that question. Was it all about his life? What I'm saying is accurate. Yeah. What I'm saying is kind of an accurate thing. He had... They used to say that Louis Armstrong... If you looked at his face, it had the world-weary... Because he just put up with year after year after year after year of sucking up to these whites, you know. And so he'd have to whip out that grin and do that hello Dolly thing one more time so all the whites could feel good, you know. Here comes Sambo, man. He's going to blow that horn. And he sang that, and I'm sure he believed it, that when he sang What a Wonderful World, sort of. And I say to myself, I don't want to do this anymore. Come on, Sam, what are you doing? I don't want to do it anymore. Bull crap. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Bull crap.
Jesus Christ, Louis Armstrong's flipped his lid.
You got it. That outtake thing that I got, Buddy Rich ripping into his band. You don't know. Well, if you're a young swinger type, you must know Buddy Rich, Craig. Anyway, Buddy Rich is ripping into his band on a bus. You heard this? Did I play that for you? Buddy Rich was a drummer back in the 60s. This dude is ripping his band an ass, telling them that they suck, that they can't play, that they're a high school band, that he's going to fire them all, that they can all hitchhike back to New York, that he could get himself an all-L.A. band tomorrow. Don't say it is impossible. It's very possible. He's telling the guy who's like his writer to shave his beard off, and if he doesn't, he's going to punch him out and throw him off the bus. All this crap, and it's being secretly tape-recorded by members of the band. They went to the union. And allegedly, I don't know for sure what happened, but I think they went to the union with these tape recordings of Buddy Rich saying that he's going to kick this guy's ass and throw this guy through a window, and you all suck, you can't play. And apparently they went to the union with this stuff, and old Buddy, well, is he still alive? There you go.
And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. I see diamonds and, Jesus.
All right, here's one here. If there's a barking dog within 25 feet, Bark Free helps him stop. Yes, Bark Free helps to get him stop. You think I'm putting you on? This is in a magazine called Improvements, Quick and Clever Bullcrap to Do to Your House. As soon as a nearby dog barks, whether it's yours or a neighbor's, Bark Free automatically turns on and starts transmitting an ultrasonic or sonic tone. Your choice. Your choice, whether you want an ultrasonic or sonic tone, that discourages Rover from continuing his barking. It's a humane and effective way to help you get a decent night's rest. Bark-activated microphone can be adjusted to eliminate false readings. So in other words, if you fart, your dog gets 800 milligrams of radiation through his brain because you ass, didn't set the microphone properly. There's some ultrasound, but you've got to make sure the mic is set because it'll pick up the bark or a fart. And either way, the dog's getting bombarded with microwaves. Oh, Jesus, it set off the dog again. Bark-activated microphone can be adjusted to eliminate false readings. Doesn't remove dog's natural need to bark. It doesn't? I thought it does. What the hell is that supposed to mean? If you put Bark Free around this freaking dog, you ain't gonna bark. What is it? It's very humane. Anything that keeps an animal from doing something natural cannot possibly be humane. It has to be torturous, something that Adolf Eichmann was writing about in his diary.
I was not responsible for the Holocaust, but I did invent Bark Free today, and I think that...
Anyway, it's available, in all colors or crap. And then they have one here, train pets in a gentle way to stay away from off-limit areas. Keep your home cleaner. Scraminal uses no shocks, powders, or sprays, just sound to teach your pet where he can't go. Just place the 2.5 by 4.5 inch unit on your kitchen table or counter near your couch, easy chair, or drapes. When the built-in sensor detects heat and motion within the 30-square-foot area in front, bullets are fired from a machine gun, and the animal is eviscerated right there on your floor. Jesus, that sounds great. And it's only $49.99. No, actually, what it does is it's a series of short, high-pitched beeps that scares Rover or Fifi away. Oh, sure, man. You know, my wife has a pager. We set that thing on a table. It goes off occasionally. Freaking cat sleeps right through it while he's laying in my food. Here's your dinner, honey. I've got to go to work. Okay, great, babe. So the cat lays down in my plate of food, and the pager goes off, and he's snoring right through it as he craps into my meatloaf. Neil Peart of Rush did a tribute CD to Buddy Rich with a bunch of other musicians a couple of years ago, comes the word from Mike Schaefer, my producer. Too bad they didn't know that Buddy was an asshole, huh? Well, then it is Rush, so I would expect as much. I'm kidding around, and you know that I am. Here it is, by the way. Here's Neil Peart and Rush.
Hot Bobby too.
They're great. Now, here's one. Train pets to stay off the couch and watch your cleaning bills drop. Your dog and cat will soon learn where they don't belong, even when you're away. Simply place the 20 by 48 inch long flexible PVC scat mat on your couch, your easy chair, or your kitchen counter or car hood. No need to be near an electrical outlet. Oh, good. When touched, a harmless yet annoying static shock fries the animal dead right there on the mat. Easy scrape-off comes with it, so you can scrape the animal into a can and throw him in the street. No, it's a harmless yet annoying static shock scares whoever Fifi away to keep furniture free of pet hair, stain, rips, and scratches. Turns off automatically after 3 seconds, three safe static levels, depending on size of pet. You can turn it from low to moderate to fry on sight. Patent pending. And when the cat jumps on top of that thing, well, you've heard of, it's like a bar, oh, is that hot, what? Is this hot barbecue? Oh, this is a song that they wrote for what happens to the cat when he jumps on his static mat. Yeah, look at that cat go! It's Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. There you can pick up the best of Phil Henry Show CD. It's $23.50, $3.50
shipping, Harry.
$3.50 shipping and handling, $20 for the CD, and it all goes to, well, I mean, the CD part, the $20 part, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. They do great work. We very much appreciate whatever help you can lend us. And there was a lady who wanted to call, and I think she did call, actually, in the first hour to swear at me because we don't read fan mail and we throw it in the garbage. And I'd just like to say to you, dear, we want your money, too. And I still won't read your, quote, fan mail, end quote. So that's a great thing, and we've raised $95,000. We'll just keep on keeping on. You know, we'll do what we can do. This is the last year we're going to do a CD. We're going to try to do something different next year. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe we're going to try, what's that crap called, Jeff? Bark?
Bark-free.
Bark-free, yeah. We're going to try to start marketing bark-free so that dogs don't bark. Of course, Jeff came up with a better idea for bark-free, man, a roll of duct tape. There, that's bark-free. I mean, you know, it's totally humane. It just sends an ultrasonic wave that keeps the animal from bark. What does it do, paralyze the central nervous system of the creature? And then, of course, I love this. Matt, harmless yet annoying static shock, scares Rover or Fifi away to keep furniture free of pet hair, stains, rips, and scratches. I got to tell you, and I may be talking out of school, if you put an animal, now we're not talking about a human being, you put an animal in your home, the thing's going to crap, it's going to scratch, it's going to stain, it's in your house. I don't get dogs in the house, do you? You keep a dog in the house? I wouldn't let a dog in the house. I'd shoot the freaking thing if it came in the door. The dog goes outside. Cats are in the house. You got a 12-year-old dog. Okay, I can understand it. Hell, but sleeping with it? Come on, Craig. Craig gave up his bed and gave it to his 12-year-old dog. Craig's out in a little dog. He's in a little dog basket outside now. He's sleeping outside the dog basket? No, you know, I'm in an old dog. Yeah, I understand that. But dogs are big, slobbery, sloppy guys, and they slobber all over the joint. Got a dog inside your house, you're nuts. Okay, so anyway, that's that. We got a cat. We couldn't find a cat today. All I had to do was follow the cat puke. You know, this cat I got, one of these days I'll dropkick this thing too. I came home from a week's vacation, and because he didn't have the right kind of kitty litter, he crapped all over the rug. And he's looking at me like, hi, how you doing? I'm like, you crapped on my rug! Yeah? You put the wrong litter. The wrong litter! Maria says to me, well, you have to get him a Squizzicat. What are you talking about? I ought to be able to put dirt in there and he'll crap into that thing. You got Johnny Cat. He won't dump into that Johnny Cat. He'll only dump into the right. Have you ever heard of it? Not even a human being is that discriminating. A human being, when he's got to go, will go in the middle of the street if we have to, right? I mean, it's a point. It's just. But a cat, oh, well, he's got to have his squizzy cat. He won't crap in anything but the very finest dirt. And that, there you have it. I mean, it's more than anything else. And many people, better people and funnier people than me, have, you know, down to the years, ticked off all of the things that make cats unique. But to my way of thinking, I'm on my way home from, you know, Mendocino, and Marie and I pulled over in San Leandro, and I went ahead and I sucked it up, and I went into the bathroom of the funkiest, foulest, dumpiest crap can gas station. We had to get gas, and I walked in there, the place stunk like an open sewer, right? And I went in, and I went and did what I had to do, and I walked out of there, and Maria, she went and did what she had to do. But our cat? Oh, no. He won't crap anywhere but in the very finest exquisite cat dirt. Human beings forced to suck it up, sit in a bathroom stall and look at phone number after phone number, offers of oral sex after offers of oral sex from every man on the planet. My cat wouldn't be in there 2 seconds. He'd take a, oh, this is a crap, you forget it, man. He'd go and he'd crap in your house, in your living room. That's what he did at my house anyway. I don't know if he even knows you. So there I was. I said, thanks a lot, and I'm cleaning it up. So the cat today, we had to find her, and now she's over there. I can't reach my wife on the phone. I don't know. I know we have phone service. Pacific Bell, you're better than GTE, but not much better. This whole thing about running it to the street but not in the house, what's that about? What the hell is it when I call up GTE? If I call up Pacific Bell, I say, does my house have phone service? And they say to me, yes. What do you think that means? To a normal thinking human being, what would that mean? That I can use the phone and there's a dial tone. But not the Pacific Bell. What that means is you have service to the house, but you can't use the phone yet because you need a guy to really do it in the house. Now, you need a squizzy cat. Maria says this to me. She says, don't worry, baby. That's the way they do business. What are you talking about? That's the way they do business. I need a phone, man. When I ask for phone, I want it in the house. Phone! Oh, you mean the phone in the house? Yeah, that's what I called up about, the phone in the house. I thought you just meant you wanted service to your house. That's what I said. But you mean you want to be able to use the phone? Right. Oh, well, hell, we don't do that. We're Pacific Bell. Who do I got to call, man? You could, I don't know, there's a number of guys, tradesmen, whoever. Can your kids do it? I don't know. Maybe they don't know how to do it. But it's a blessing in disguise because I didn't have to take anybody's phone call today, so that's a great thing. All right, I got to go. Jesus. We won't be able to hear this whole song. And it really sucks, too. I mean, the song sucks.
Little girl, you're the one girl for me, little girl. You're as sweet as can be, just a glance.
The work wonders, it's like a miracle.
Love from the start, and oh, what a thrill came into my heart, little girl.
You have phone service.
With your cute little ways, I am yours.
Vote McCain, vote John McCain in the California primary, and no on 22.
Great big world.